Hi, this is Matt Broughton welcoming you to the new Eat My Stack podcast. On today's show, we'll speak with Tereth, the winner of the DTD Team Challenge. We have an interview with Andreas Hovold. We'll be speaking with a group of top Norwegian players, including the likes of Annette Oberstad and Johnny Lodden. But first, here's an interview with the one and only Simon Aces Tromper.
Very soon after the game broke, he's now playing the £200 lane of a tournament.
Oh,
so stuff there is drinking three to one. And that's helped to attract a few guys that haven't been there before, like Pete Singleton. So,
you were scanty through here for this.
Yeah, we've got 3 hours to go. We've got the club closed itself Monday and Tuesday, as you know, but tomorrow it's privately hired out to a television company that are recording a tour that's going to be called Battle of Champions, as I understand. And it's 8 top Norwegian players. I'll be here hosting it. Later this year in Norway.
Yeah, I just had an interview with Andreas Hallwood. I'm wondering if Lynette might get you, if she gets here tonight, I'll have to go with her and all.
She come?
Well, she's coming tomorrow, yeah, she's here tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I can remember that.
Yeah, I'll get her. I'll suppress that.
Well, that's great.
She's coming and there's anger that they're all well known, so.
Yeah, it's like it's here, isn't it?
Yeah.
So,
excuse me, there's the guy that's already in the, he's in the second day. 300.
Right.
Big thick set Norwegian guy. He was doing quite well, so I don't know if he is lined up. I'm sure he'll come to the fore, as they say. See, they're busy setting the television up there anyway.
Well, as you can see, I mean, we've had to close off the bottom tier because of it. And it's going to be overhead cameras. I think there's going to be a boom as well for wide shots. It's basically tomorrow. Unusual to be there, but they're only probably about a maximum of 25 people in there.
Yeah, it's going to be a bit gamsty, it's going to be a bit dead, so it's going to be. But they're all speaking Norwegian anyway. So.
Yeah, well, we're fortunate enough to have a Norwegian speaking deal.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they specifically asked for him, and he'll be dealing the whole final. So he's going to have a long day tomorrow, he's going to be dealing for 6 to 8 hours.
What would like that scan is to shut the trolley ships in there, he's going to be there all the day, all the way.
I don't know what the stars of sex are. To run for minimum six hours.
Really?
Yeah, so it's not going to be one of these made for TV matches, and then it's going to be a fairly decently run structure. And then the reason they needed to provide a Norwegian dealer is because they want all the talk at the table in Norwegian, including the size of the bets and everything.
Oh, really?
So we also supply someone to record all the notes so that when it sends it down for TV, they'll be able to. For graphic purposes.
Yeah, I was talking to Andreas there, and he was saying that the Norway's totally illegal in Norway.
Absolutely, yeah.
Everything. So, if you did the Norwegian Open last year,
yeah.
So, were you doing it again this year, I think?
We did it in March.
Last year,
yeah. It's yeah. Norwegian only. Last year, they said we could have 100 non-Norwegian players. They ended up with their total of 514, and it was a little bit, it was I think it was about 108 non-Norwegians. 406 Norwegians. But they had a close scare when the runner-up was Swedish.
Oh.
So experts and sponsors want to make sure that it definitely is a Norwegian player that wins. And they've decided this year, next year in March, it'll be Norwegians.
So Norwegian, no Swedes, and no Danish.
I'm actually in talks with some people who know the Swedish Open Championship as well, so it'd be nice to bring that here. And also I'm talking to some people about having a Dutch program open here as well.
Oh, good. Yeah.
But we've already secured the Great Plains Championships. That's on the 14th and 16th of November.
Yeah, I thought that.
And that is strictly Greeks and Greeks are Greeks only.
Well, we'd love half a London
move. We're going to be advertising on Greek radio in London. And the organiser for this is here tonight. And he's actually concerned that doing that might actually attract too many players. He would actually be happy if the field was no more than, say, 120, 150, and he's bringing 70 players from Greece, from mainland Greece and Cyprus. I wouldn't be surprised if we get 180, 200, but I know even locally that there's going to be a community of 30, 40 Greek Cypriots.
Yeah.
So we've got that coming up, and
you've got your own idea.
basically with a week to go. So I'm not sure, so you know, I spoke to Toby, I said, look, you know, thanks for trying, but you know, maybe we can try something smaller later. So I thought, well, shall I give it a miss? And in the end, I decided to try and sell a few shares on Blonde, because obviously like, we've had the Blonde Championships here, or whether it's the Blonde Bash, and I've been posting on Blonde probably for about 3 years. So I'm well known there, and obviously a lot of them, as well as yourselves, come here. So I stuck a post on Blonde and managed to sell all the shares. It took about 4 days. I sold 60% and went to play. And I took, you know, in the end, I had a very tough table. Started with Donna Grote and Mark Goodwin, Alan Cunningham and Joshua Meyer. And then about 2 hours into the day, Phil Melmoth was on my left. So it wasn't the sort of table where you could take liberties to basically find some hands. And I didn't find any. And I was really disappointed. I went out about halfway through the field. It was about 160 votes. So I thought to myself, well, you know, I don't know if I can do better than this. And there was a £1,000 tournament at the European Championships at the Vic last Sunday. So I offered the shareholders, I said, right, you can come and have a second chance if you like. Which some of them thought was a bit cheeky, but I said, well, a twist to it. You can back me for the Vic. I was selling 2.5% for 30 quid. And I said, if I win more than £4,000, I will then donate that to UKBT and your shareholdings will carry forward for it. So, you know, it's like a double shot. Anyway, there was 8 people took me up on my offer, so I sold 60% again. And my shift flew back up second. It was very tough. I was short state to level 7. I had below average. I'm below starting stack actually, but I'm not below average. I was at 10,000 starting stack. I didn't have above 10,000 for 7 levels. And then I managed to get up to about 40,000. And then we got down to 18 players, and I lost the pot, which took me down to 14,000 when the average was over 60. I managed to find my way back to the final. That was fourth chip position, and then unfortunately it had to be done in one day, so the management of the Vic decided to make it reduce the clock from 40 minutes to 30 minutes. They also took out the 1500 3000 level, which made a big difference, and by the time we got to 4:30 in the morning, they told us with 4 left that it was going to go to a chip count after 220 minute levels. And as you can imagine, it became strategic. The chip leader, we had a big chip leader, Simon Eastwood, basically didn't need to play a hand to win it. You know, he could just pass the blind. And one of the other players was playing for the money rather than trying to win it. So he was trying to take up as much time as possible. But it worked out that each 10,000 chip was going to be worth about 800 quid from the prize pool. And when we got to the last hand, and the very last hand, I decided to try and maximise my return, because if it fourth place, I was guaranteed £8,000 anyway. And I had to raise my hand anyway, it's Jack 10-9, I think it was, and I raised it up, and it went around to the big blind, and the other two had folded, he moved all the other, say, four players left. I had to make a call now for 62,000, getting 3-1 odds. If I fold, it was about 30 seconds to go, if I fold, I've got a guaranteed £5,000 left in front of me, in real cash. If I call, I win the pot. Instead of getting 8,000, I get 22,500. I make the call. He had a pair of quids. That was really good. Cool. He had quids with a couple of red cards. And I won a checker. So the tournament was then finished. I was declared second, 310,000 chips. The winner had 500,000. Third had 116. And the gentleman in the pot won at the end had 24,000. So I don't know if I've got what second place would have been anyway. I think it was 22 something, so I got 22,490, which means obviously my bank has got £13,500 win. So they were very happy, they were looking forward to failure. So I do that.
I think we might be going to
find it. Oh, great.
Right. It's a lot of progress. Yeah, well, I'm not just trying to do it, is it?
That's it.
Yeah,
I'm not going to worry. Yeah, everybody says to me, what's on the coach somewhere?
It's not the game.
Oh, right, okay, well, I don't mind.
It's 70 miles from London.
Yeah.
I tend to be on. But it's nice down there.
Is it?
It's that microclimate. It's like the city halls or the, like, it's raining everywhere. obviously sunny, and I wonder if it's snowing there, it's raining everywhere else, that sort of thing. Like, it's nice down there, it's a new jiggy scene, I've never been myself.
So who else has got a phone from the rest?
Hopefully Brass is playing. Take a few players out of circulation.
So you are
tubes up until 8 o'clock, and for at least the first 2 days ran in unused five levels, so they'll just make 10 hours a day, both days. I've kind of worked it out that we should be able to do it if we have, say, 250, we can get it done using the clock in 5 days. But we'll just have to see. I mean, realistically, I'll be happy if we get 120 because of what's going on at the same time.
Going to be a unique experience if you
do that. Absolutely. I mean, we're happy to get like 20. I mean, obviously, you can set like 3 to the paper as well. So we're happy to get 20 people through live satellites and hopefully as many again online.
Yeah.
And then it's however many people come to December have got 1,060 quid in their pocket and are willing to travel up to Washington to play.
Well, that's going to be some people that are willing to do that.
Yeah,
it's going to get some of the pros and semi-pros that are going to come out.
My opinion is if I had 1,060 quid, then it's got absolutely nothing to do with my stores, that's the law. I would actually relish the opportunity to play the WSOP main event structure. So, because it's the ultimate test, 20,000 chips, that's right, o'clock. I mean, you really play poker now. It's all this sort of thing, and, having to go through, like, in round 300 is a slow structure, but I mean, you're only getting, 10,000 chips at a 45-minute clock. It's a massive difference when you get to round o'clock. You really can sit there and enjoy the experience and learn the table, and you can get away from hands, and you can set people up. See a lot more flops, which, traditionally in nowadays, it's a lot of all-ins, pre-flop.
Which you could have similar to the main event, where the best levels go out in the first couple of levels.
I can't see that happening. No, I can't. Just, we had a little team stand festival recently, 15,000 chips on a 1 hour clock. We didn't leave with us four people in the first 3 hours.
Yeah.
We didn't lose anybody in the first hour. I think we lost one at the second hour.
Even AC3 Kings is going to get away and make
it over that. Yeah, if the group line starting 2550, when we are actually using the monument structure completely, so I think the first level is 5100. So you start with like 200 times the implant. But as you say, I mean, if it's a race that we raised, you should still be able to get away after the flop. I mean, if it's a race and a re-race, we call and or a race, re-race, re-race, and if it comes down 9 high, I've seen there are queens, and the guy shoves, then there's every chance that you're up against those two kings.
Yeah.
So,
even asking how to manage to turn that one down. Not like I did yesterday. Not like I did yesterday. Queens, 15. But that's part of the plan. I think we're going to be buzzing that way.
November 7th, Friday 7th is...
Stake show.
When it first the second row win, sponsored seats in £300, so
that's right. On the
Saturday, you've got your own form of membership if that's right. Very underwriter's recommending.
Well, I mean, we'll get one over. Well, I thought that would be over
100.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's going to be over 100. We had 80 on the last one we did. Last year, Broadway, so I'm hoping we've got now 3,000 odd members. So I'm hoping we can manage to get looks good. But as for eight, you've got a fairly reasonable future. We always take money if it when we're on live, but we can't seem to do it when we're live for some reason. But it's a nice spot. It is a nice spot. I mean, one of the things I appreciate more than anything, I think, is the fact that if you say it's going to start at a certain time, it starts. There's no arguing about it. You know, the dealers are all way above what we would normally expect to get, even at some of the more established places. Thank you.
There he is, the one and only Simon Ace's Trumper. I wonder if there's a song in there somewhere. Anyway, don't go too far. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Baz finished third in PokerStars World Championship of Online Poker, Event 1, and won over $87,000, of which over $50,000 was paid out to his backers. He won Full Tilt Online Poker Series Event 4 for over $48,000, returning over $20,000 to his backers. Are you a winning player and looking for backers to help you move up to the next level? Or perhaps you simply want to buy a piece of the action? Stakershark.com, the UK's top poker staking community.
Some poor dude just had his aces cracked by 5-6 off. Now he is smashing up his laptop. Maybe he should have signed up to eatmystack.co.uk and posted in the BBV section. Visit eatmystack.co.uk to ease the pain.
You're listening to the Eat My Stack Poker Podcast, brought to you by the eatmystack.co.uk Poker Forum.
Well, he'd love to play poker every night. As current manager, it wouldn't be right. Simon has to stand and wait for the call of a helpless dealer shouting for floor. Clowns to the left of him, string betting on night. Trumper is stuck in Nottingham for you. Yes, he's stuck in Nottingham for you. Rob Young said it was a beautiful place. There's ample parking and there's plenty of space. Dust to Dawn was a good idea for sure. A shame it took 5 years to open the doors. Stoke to the west of you, Grantham to the right, Trumper is stuck in Nottingham for you. Well, you used to have a ponytail, De Niro was your second face. When it all fell out, you didn't wave, shaved off your head and changed your name to Aces. So you played WSOP. No one on Staker Shark would pay for a piece. So the blondies all chipped in for a share. Things looked good until you got to your chair. With Helmut to the left of you, Goodwin to the right, Trouble was back in Nottingham for you. Well, you're working hard to fill the club a forum challenge every week. Norwegians really love you, and now you're gonna focus on the Greeks. Greeks. Well, your deep stack structure seems very fair. You're in the scalp of Ben, so you've got no hair. New cash players about to walk through the door. So Mr. Cool can quickly bankrupt them all. Greco's got a little woods. Cats who girls resign, drop a wrist. Stuck in Nottingham for you. Yes, it's stuck in Nottingham for you. Drop a wrist, stuck in Nottingham for you. Aces!
You're listening to the Eat My Stack podcast, and it's time now to catch up with an EPT winner, Andreas Holvold.
Thank you.
any money on it, they're not allowed to earn it.
Exactly. But it's not gone. It makes most of the money. It's gone because of better culture and stuff, but yeah, it's still a wonderful place.
So are you, when you go home, are you recognised as a poker player?
Yes.
When you go home?
Yes.
I suppose you're quite... if I were to say you're one of the best poker players in Norway, would I be about right? Or are you? Because that'd be too much brain. If you do come out.
It's time now for a quick advert break, but we will be right back with you here on the Eat My Stack podcast.
At PokerFreeRollWorld.com, all our games are free. That's right, 100% free. No need to deposit, so you can play risk-free. Only free poker at PokerFreeRollWorld.com. Sign up today at PokerFreeRollWorld.com. It's free.
So there was our intrepid Jeff, hoping to maybe catch Annette Oberstad or Johnny Lodden for a quick interview, and then a herd of Norwegian poker players entered the room.
Yeah.
is to realize where the biggest has been in our life.
Now, this is a really young guy. I guess you're more of a body. 20.
No. 17.
That's how old you're with.
22.
You're 22.
He started off his career in Miami, where he threw money on a guy who played the drums. He changed $100 bill into ones and fives. He threw money. And his friend said to him, "It's over for you. You're 17 years old and you're throwing money."
A bit oriental with dark hair, it's not about Used to buy it. Yeah, I used to buy it.
That's just a rule I agree with.
That's what I'm Joey Rob, you just like to see him on the fence.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Eat My Stack Poker Podcast, brought to you by the eatmystack.co.uk Poker Forum.
Hello and welcome back to the Eat My Stack Podcast. Now it's time to catch up with the winner of the Dusk Till Dawn Team Challenge from the 4th of October. It's Tereth. Well, that's it for another Eat My Stack podcast. Don't miss the next episode where we're going to catch up with all the players at the Virgin Poker Festival from the Loose Cannon. See you there.